energy in your home and office space is throwing you off, throwing off your success, your abundance, your peace of mind as we move into 2026. My next guest is Feng Shui and human design expert, Laurel Collins. And Laurel is a few things. She is, first and foremost, she's a fellow Canadian. I always love when I get to speak to fellow Canadians on Unjaded. She is a reflector in human design. And if you're familiar with human design, you know that reflectors make up just 1% of the population. They are our karmic mirrors. Laurel is also a 3-5 profile in human design, and 3-5s are my absolute favorite. They bump around with life, they're unhinged, they just try all of the things, and they get a bad rap. They have a lot of conditioning. I love working with 3-5s. So today, Laurel is unpacking with us how to feng shui your office or your workspace for success in the year ahead. Oh, so Laurel and I are here today, and we are laughing because we have had tech difficulties. I have forgotten to record twice. She has had to move rooms, but here we are together now. So welcome, Laurel.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Happy to be here and happy to have things working finally for us.
Yeah, it's been a fun little juggle around, but I think we're good.
We're doing it. So I forgot to mention in your intro that you two are a quadrite. I'm just going to explain to our listeners what that means, and then I'm going to ask you a little bit about how that's played out in your life. So quadrite, Laurel and I are both quadrites in human design, and that refers to our variable. Your variable is the set of four arrows that you see around the head center in your human design chart. And it refers to the environment you thrive in, what you see when you're in the right environment, your cognition or how you digest information, how you digest food. There's a lot of things there in that variable. And it is said that quadrites currently are about 0.05% of the population, which is more rare than reflectors. So here we have Laurel, who is both a reflector, 1% of the population, and a quadrite in human design. And I'm thinking that must have been a fascinating journey for you to discover that.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. It's been really interesting. And at first it felt disappointing. I just wanted to be maybe a generator or something.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not easy being a reflector in a manifesting generator world. Like, you know, when you're in the world of online.
Yeah.
And it seems like the really successful people are people like yourself that are manifesting generators. And it just seems like you're more visible. You can change from one thing to the other and it works for you. But we are not as visible as reflectors. Mm-hmm. And then, so working with that, trying to figure out how to be a reflector, how to make decisions with no inner authority, and then having to wait 28 days supposedly to make a decision. It's like, this is really challenging. So navigating that, but then learning about the variables, which I avoided at first. Mm-hmm. But when I learned there was an environment variable, I thought, well, that's cool, because maybe I can work that into my feng shui and my energy, you know, environments. I thought, I want to know more about that. And I knew I was a quadrite. I didn't know what that meant at all. So realizing that I'm a passive, receptive observer, not strategic, not focused. And here I am wondering why I'm trying to make all these plans. I'm going to do all these things and it never works for me. And so it's really changed my life, because now I just really work at still working at being in flow, living in flow, not being hard on myself because this didn't work for me or that didn't work for me. And I think negative self-talk has been one of the hardest things I've had to deal with. And so this has really helped me to come to peace with who I am and continue working to just be in flow and really learn more about what the variables mean, because it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot, for sure. And being in flow, I feel like that gets talked about a lot and it gets kind of maybe romanticized, I don't know, but truly living in flow, like you said, one of the times it didn't record, you said how hard it has been to allow yourself to live in that flow. And I know I'm a man gen, and I find like that is the hardest thing to accept that, I think, in myself is hard, or to allow that in myself is hard, because in business, it's like, you know, you wake up in the morning, I do, and I've got like this list, and there's some days where it's just like, that's not happening. There's a lot of days.
Yeah, no, you're right. The living in flow, it's something that people talk about, but what does that even mean, right?
Yeah.
And is it, yeah. So for me, it has been, yeah, just not being hard on myself if I didn't get this done, or expecting that I'm going to like get this to-do list and I'm going to reach out to this many clients or whatever, because people don't want that from me. So understanding how I have to operate, and I have to just be again in the right energy. So it doesn't mean I'm just sedentary and I'm doing nothing. I'm constantly doing something and busy, but I'm just trying to be in flow with it. I'm working at like just knowing that if I'm in the right energy and I'm in the right environment and I have the right people around me, that the right opportunities will come. Doesn't mean, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and good things will happen. No, I'm still working it, but just differently without being hard on myself. That's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the reflector piece? How did you wrap your mind around that?
Well, it made a lot of sense for me because I always felt like I was that person who just could fit in anywhere, like the shapeshifter, right? Yeah. Yeah. Like I can adapt. So over my lifetime, I've been a hairdresser. I worked in the film industry working. So I was a wardrobe stylist. I would work with directors and agencies, and I could, you know, I didn't have the big ego. I could just kind of fit in with everybody, and it just kept everything kind of calm and peaceful in a way, just kind of roll with it. And even with boyfriends or friends or whatever, I just felt like I could always just go with the flow. And so that made a lot of sense for me as the reflector. But the challenge is that, like, do I want that? Or is that just what I do to make life easier? So that's where learning I was a reflector helped me to start looking at, like, do I want that? And as a mom, you know, when you go out to eat and I'll just eat whatever they didn't finish. And it's like, well, what would I even choose for myself on a menu? I don't even know.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's, I'm sure a lot of moms, you know, a lot of us do that kind of thing, but as a reflector, it's a little bit harder maybe to know. I don't have like a sacral, like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I have to think about it for 28 days.
Yeah. For 28 days. That'll let you know if I'm going to have the burger or the nachos.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I just found it really kind of a pain in the butt, but at the same time, I know it's a gift. There's a lot of beautiful qualities of it, but you know, when you just wish you could be, it could be easier. And it is when I get into flow.
Mm. And it's so funny because so many people, I don't know if you have this experience or not, because I know that you're in the human science space as well as feng shui, but so many people wish or think they wish that they were reflectors. And I'll have projectors come in who have two centers to define, and they'll be like, oh, I'm almost a reflector. It's like, no, you're not. Like, you're a projector. But people want to be a reflector for some reason. And I think I have a few reflector friends, and I think, oh my gosh, their life is so much harder than mine.
Yeah. You know what? I think the visibility piece is hard because you have to get used to the fact that you just might not get noticed. And my whole life, like not my whole life, but my whole like online life for sure, where I'd be in a group and no one would ever see me with my hand up, or I wouldn't even bother. Like after a while, you just don't bother. You just end up just being there in the space and you just get used to it. Or I don't know, in a lot of cases, I find that I just slip through the cracks. And so it's not because I'm not worthy or I'm not whatever. It's just like, it's the reflector thing. Like you might just blend in. But that also helps me know that I want to be in one-on-one environments preferably. And if I am going to do like a webinar or something, it's better if I can't see the people. Okay. You know, there's, or going to an event where there's a lot of people and all that energy is coming at me. Yeah. It just helps me to navigate my life.
Mm. And do you find that you take on a lot of energy? I know it's said that reflector aura is like Teflon and it bounces off, but how much do you take on? How much do you wear throughout the day?
A lot. Yeah. Okay. And I realized as a kid, and I remember I didn't ever like Christmas because there was, you know, a grandmother who was miserable and cranky and didn't want to be there. And I'd just be picking up on all the energy. And I know a lot of people are like that. And for me, I just definitely don't, it doesn't bounce off. But that is a hard thing because I have to be careful who I'm with, where the spaces that I'm in, all of that. That's really important for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, it's cool that my whole life has been around creating spaces, decorating and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And you're highly creative.
I'm pretty creative. I do love to be creative for sure with whatever, cooking, decorating. I've got two really creative daughters. Just my mom's very creative. We're I don't know, innovators, conceptualizers.
Yeah. And what are their designs?
So my mom is a manifester. So that was one of the things I was going to say. You know, we talk about being in flow. Mm-hmm. When you've been raised by a manifester and and she's just like, go, 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 the busiest person in the world. And I've tried to be that my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so trying to let go of that with her. But then I have a generator daughter and a projector daughter, okay. Projector stepson, generator hubby.
Okay. Okay. And can we talk just briefly about 3-5?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How does that, yeah. So as you're talking about, you know, you're feeling energy from people and you've gone through these Christmases, and I'm like, well, in your 3-5 way, you would have had to experience all of those things, getting them wrong in air quotes, because there's no such thing as getting it wrong. But how does that play with your life, the 3-5?
To be honest, the 3 really helped me to understand, okay, no wonder I take all these courses and do all these things and I think I'm going to be all this and I never finish them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, honestly, I'm not sure if I've finished much, but I take what I need and I move on. And then now I can help other people maybe make a choice around it or something. But that's helped me to forgive myself for making mistakes. And I also now know you don't need to take that, Laurel. Yeah. You don't need to take that course. Wait 28 days. Mm-hmm. If I would have known that when I was going through some of the personal development circuits where they're selling you something from the stage and you need to buy it like today.
Yes.
Like if I would have known wait 28 days, that would have saved me so much money.
Yeah.
The 5, when I look at that now and I realize how people are projecting onto me and they see me as something I can be for them. Mm-hmm. And then as the reflector or the person that I am, I think, oh, I can be that. I can do that. I can do that. And it's ended up getting me into trouble for sure.
Yeah. But then that's your 3 way of moving through it.
Yeah.
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 So I have one more reflector question. I have had reflectors say to me that, a reflector say to me, that her life is as if, picture you're at a party and she sidles up beside a person and like she can put them on, she can try them on. And like you're saying how you can fit in places. She feels into the person and then she moves on and it's completely different energy and she can feel into the next person. Do you have that sort of a thing?
Absolutely, but I don't really think about it.
Okay.
I just fit. I just move around and just adapt to the people, but I'm not really conscious of it, I don't think. Like, but it is definitely what I do. Yeah. Okay. I just want to show up to people where they are and just, I hate confrontation. So just let it be easy. Let it be nice. Let's just move through this situation. And that could be to my detriment, but I'll just do that.
It's interesting though, because so much of the time we feel like we don't fit and you've been able to make yourself fit somehow into all of these groups.
But that's where like a game with the 5 where I think, oh, I can do this and I can fit into this and I can be that person that they want me to be, but without knowing that like, no, that's not right for me. So now I know better when to like say no or step away or make it brief.
Yeah. Make it brief. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Okay. So let's switch gears into feng shui, because Laurel has really mixed human design. That's where we kind of, our worlds met in the human design space. And you really went into environments, which I freaking love with feng shui. And then, if you're listening, you probably can't see Laurel. If you're listening, you definitely cannot see Laurel, but she is wearing this beautiful red kimono. So I want to know the story of that, because when I complimented you on your kimono, you said, well, that's my feng shui kimono. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because I went to, as a decorator, I went to the home show. And there was a woman here selling these kimonos. It was the last thing for me to think I'm going to go buy something like this at a home show.
Yeah.
But when I looked at it and I thought, because I do feng shui vision board workshops, and I will be doing like for Year of the Fire Horse, I'll be doing a workshop. And I thought that's going to be my jacket to wear for the workshops.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, red, it's a good color of, you know, to be seen, you know, as the reflector, I'd like to stand out a little bit sometimes. And it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful, it's a Himalayan, maybe it's from India, I don't know, but it just makes me feel rich and abundant for sure.
So do you consider feng shui in your clothing a lot of the time?
Sometimes I do. Like, I am the kind of person who doesn't think a lot about the clothes. I'm like a uniform kind of person.
Okay.
You know, like in my Myers-Briggs, I'm the kind of person who should just like be a cop or something where you just put on the one outfit. So I have like specific clothes that I put, I don't think about it a lot.
Okay.
But like, I thought about it today. I want to wear my red to talk to Vicky.
Okay. So I'm realizing as we might be a few steps ahead of people. So let's go back to the beginning. I sometimes forget, I miss steps. Let's go back to the beginning with what exactly is feng shui?
Well, so for me, the feng shui that I do, it's Western feng shui. So it's basically my teacher, Tara Catherine Collins. It's comfort, safety, beauty. It's about the art of placement, but it's about creating spaces that support your goals, your intentions for your life. So, you know, setting up your rooms so that it has everything that you need to live the life that you want. Make it comfortable, make it safe, and make it beautiful. And its foundations are Chinese. It started as auspicious burial sites. And there's a lot of people that will use compasses and direction. And for me, it's way more just intention with people. Like, what does this mean to you? Where should we put it? Shifting things in the environment so that you actually feel the energy when you're moving your furniture. So for me, it's about creating spaces that support your goals and vision.
Okay. So if someone was looking at their office space or their workspace moving into 2026, you have already mentioned that it's the year of the fire horse and we're moving out of the year of the snake. Is there anything that we should be thinking about moving from that shedding into that? I can't even imagine what a fire horse means to me. That's like lots of action.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking about for myself is just really, and what I would offer to others, because it is the 9 year that's completed. And that's a year of completions. And so making sure that you actually have completed projects, you know, you don't have things that are left undone, calls that you need to make, clients perhaps that, you know, you've left hanging, any kind of relationships or appointments, or like I would say get that to-do list going of things that are just those little nigglies in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Just get them down on paper so you can sort of get a clear head and then a clear desk. That's what I like to do. I like to, because my desk has recently been used as a wrapping station for Christmas and this sort of thing. So I had to go in there and take everything off and just get a fresh perspective on, okay, what do I want to put back on here that serves how I want to go forward into this galloping horse of a year, right? It's a 1 year in numerology too. So beginnings, new beginnings. So clean slate. And then really, because I do the feng shui and vision board workshop stuff too, it's like setting the intention and anchoring it. So maybe you have something on your desk where, you know, that's what you look at. And then maybe you light a candle and you look at a certain color of something, or you have like a something to anchor in your intentions. Okay. Put that on your desk.
Okay. So I am looking at my desk right now. I have a big desk. And of course I have a standing desk because I'm a manifesting generator and I need to move my body. But I do this, I think the last time we spoke, I did it according to the map that you talked about. So I've got my things in place, but now I've got a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, I'm continually having to clean my desk off because I'm a serial reader. So I have like 7 books on the go. So I've got them on my desk right now and I've got old agendas that I'm going through for notes and all that. So is this something that we should be changing up often? I felt like my prosperity grid is over in the corner there and it's like the same thing that's always been there in the same spot it's always been. Like, I get really tired of it the same way.
That's a really good question. So I was thinking about you because I know you're a market environment.
Mm-hmm.
And as a markets environment, you probably need to be flowing between like a few kind of desks in your space, right?
Yeah.
And so it's so individual. So when I'm working with my clients, I basically meet them where they are and I just have to like look at what they have and what they need. I would say for me, I need it to be fluid. I need to be able to move things as it goes. But some people are more rigid, right? They're more defined. They're going to have their phone is always here. Their agenda is always here. And so I think when you look at the variables and you look at your human design type and you look at your feng shui directions, one of the main things that I like to tell people is to have your success direction. So you could take a look online and find your success direction with your birthday.
Nice. Southwest is mine.
And so make sure if you can be sitting in that direction. And then the other thing is to be in a power position. So, you know, like you wouldn't really want to have your desk, your back to a window like this. You would want to be able to see the entryways. And just feeling like you can get that little fight or flight brain at a comfortable state in order to get into like a workflow.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a couple questions about my particular office, but I'm going to ask them in a way, hopefully, that other people will benefit from as well. You mentioned the power position, which is facing the door. So we should always be facing the door, correct?
You should be able to see the door.
Okay. And then there are a lot of us who have windows in really awkward places. My house is 250 years old and I've got like looking out from where my desk is now. I've got two windows and I've got the door to my right. And I have tried to switch this office around every which way. So yeah. I've heard you can put a mirror if you have a window or something. What do we do with that?
Yeah. So one thing I would say, if you could get a tall back on your desk chair.
Okay.
So that like maybe at one of your desks, because you might have like a few different places where you're working, but if you need to really get into a flow state in your brain to work through, like if you're writing a book or whatever, I know you just did recently. Mm-hmm. So if you need to get into flow with work, getting really comfortable and safe is usually good. And then if you can't put your seat and your desk where you can see the door, then yeah, absolutely. I recommend a little mirror. Doesn't have to be big, just big enough so that you can look into it and you can see behind you if the door is behind you, and just put your mind at ease. And it's unconscious stuff. And that's the thing about feng shui. It's energy we're not always aware of. Like everything around us is actually attached to us with an invisible cord and it's talking to us constantly and we don't always know what it's saying. And that's why people end up tolerating things for so long because they're not paying attention to what it's telling us. But if we can stop and take notice of, okay, here's my desk, here's what I'm looking at, here's what I need to be looking at just to put my mind at ease, here's what needs to be on my desk, here's what doesn't, you know, then that's what I love about feng shui. It makes you stop and pay attention and think about what is this? What does it mean? Why is it here? Do I need it here? Do I need wrapping paper on my desk? You know, probably not. But, you know, what do you need and how does it make you feel?
And then getting rid of the things that you don't love, I would assume?
Well, you know what? What I love to do when I work with clients, I love to repurpose things.
Okay.
So maybe you don't need this in this room, but maybe you need it in a different room. And maybe you do need to get rid of things, but also there are people that need clutter. Like they need that energetic around them, but it just maybe needs to be more organized. And like I say, intentional, like, is it good clutter? Like, is it bunch of art books that reminds you of like a project and you know you're going to get to them, or is it, you know, broken computer equipment? Like we just really need to look at what is it and who am I as a person. And that's why the human design is so helpful, because maybe you do need some clutter in your life as a certain type of a person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a personal question again but again I'm hoping that it's beneficial for listeners as well. So I actually recently have someone who's more in my life than they used to be. And that person, absolutely, I don't know if she knows that she loves clutter. She's got a lot of stuff everywhere. And every time we talk about getting rid of something, it's going to storage or it's going to, like, it's always moving around, but very small spaces where there's not a lot of room. She's a caves environment, selective caves. But she, and like, I can't stand stuff. So I didn't really realize that there were people who actually are supposed to have stuff around them. Who would those people be?
Yeah. Those people are, I think those are the, some of them are the mountain people.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I'll have to look that up, but there are people that clutter is good to have.
Really?
But even just in general, like it's not clutter in the ugly sense. It's clutter in terms of like things that energize you and make you feel good. Maybe it's kind of like when you look at an extrovert and an introvert, you know, like sometimes the stuff inspires you, but it has to be clean. It can't be dusty. You know, you still have to shift it and move it and, you know, reset intentions.
Okay. So I'm assuming that you do this work online as well as in person.
Perfect. Yes, definitely. Just looking at photos and videos and that kind of thing and asking questions of people like, what is that? Why is that there?
Okay. So they would video their space, send it to you, and then you would tap into that. Okay. So we'll link that all up in the show notes for you so that you can get into Laurel's world. You also have a report on using your human design environment and feng shui, correct?
I have some human design environment reports, definitely. And I have the magnetize your workspace with feng shui.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a whole little lineup of things on my Instagram.
Okay. So that's new since the last time we talked, I think. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I basically put every little free gift or PDF or anything like that into all in one page.
Awesome. Okay. So can we go through the six main environments in human design? And maybe you can give some sort of a tip or something for each one.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that a lot with the human design environments because it's so complex and it's so slightly different for everybody. Right. And it's so hard to generalize, but like what I was saying for yourself, for markets, you know, you might want to be able to get out into where business and commerce is happening, but if you can't, like you need to somehow create something like that in your home and having multiple stations and desks on wheels and things like that, which you do have. I'm a caves environment, so that I have my, which I'm not in now, but I have my tall back office chair. So I feel safe and protected in my chair. And I do love small environments. I like to be in my little cozy home. Working like that works for me. Shores is interesting because you need some sort of a separation. Mm-hmm. And I was just learning a little bit more about shores. And it could even mean that you live close to a border or maybe by a river or maybe just, you know, your office, maybe you have a balcony, you know, maybe you're looking onto like some kind of a definition, a defined line. The mountains, you really need to get up above. Like you might want your office up on a higher floor and you need to be able, even if it's just visualizing, like looking down onto your situation and how you're going to manage it. And then valleys, definitely more flow, like not necessarily willy-nilly, but just letting, maybe your office is in a space where there's a hallway, you can see things moving and happening and just tapping into that energy a little bit. And then kitchens, workshops, and just having things really organized and creating the assigned places for things and just cooking up ideas.
Yeah. Okay. I hadn't thought about that, about having specific places for things with kitchens, because I feel like that's one that a lot of people struggle with because they feel like they need to be in the natural kitchen. I'm like, it's not that. It's about a bunch of things being put together and being transformed, but having things in a certain place, that makes so much sense. One of my best friends is a kitchen's environment. And now I'm like, oh my God, I can see, she like freaks out if there are coffee cups left, if this like freaks out. And she always wonders why.
Because that's the thing. We can just be so, what's the word? Like literal, like, oh, I need to be in a kitchen and I need to be in a cave. But it's not like that. It's, you can create that kind of energy. Yeah, we just have to figure out how to do it within what we have.
Yeah.
And that's why even if you just, like when I do my feng shui workshops and I do the center of the vision board is always how you're grounded. So maybe how you're grounded is a picture of something that you're just going to visualize when you're just trying to come back to center. And maybe it is like that super organized place, or maybe it is a mountain, or maybe it is a beach, or yeah, maybe it's your environment. Like maybe it's a little cozy cave. So I like to just think of it as sometimes just something you can just visualize.
And I think a lot, sometimes I hear that pictures on the wall, like wall art, can help to give the feel of a shoreline or of a market or something like that.
100%. I think if you're a mountains person and you're going to live in the mountains and look at mountains, and if you can't, you're in a condo in the city, then yeah, have a beautiful picture of mountains, something that reminds you to, you know, get up above your situation and look at it. Shores, absolutely. So many beautiful pictures of beaches and that sort of thing. And kitchens, I don't think you're going to want to put a picture of your kitchen necessarily, but obviously there's really beautiful kitchens these days.
Okay, so as we're moving into this one energy numerology, we're moving into the fire horse year, action taking, all of those things, what are the things that we should be thinking about in our spaces to support that forward motion?
Well, that's a good question. In the 1 year, definitely I would create, and I will be doing this. I'm creating my new projects folder that I will put on my growth section of my, so when in the feng shui bagua map that has the 9 sections, it's got on your left center is your growth area. So I think I would say use that area of your desk to put a little basket for your new projects and information and things that you want to put there. And then for the fire horse, I would probably definitely, I'm putting a candle in my fame and reputation area of my desk, which is the top center. And when I light that candle every day, when I go into my work, for whatever time the flow brings me there, you know, set the intention for that fire horse year of just to gallop off into success and good relationships, and just setting intention that way, I think is perfect.
And I think that one of your freebies at least has the Bagua map on it.
Yes.
I know that I downloaded it and did my desk like that.
Yeah, the Magnetize Your Workspace has the Bagua map, and it gives you all kinds of ideas of what you could put in all the different places.
Okay.
And you don't need to put something in every place, but I'm feeling like for a year of new growth, you know, a growth area of your desk makes sense. And for a year of fire, you know, the fire symbol up in the fame and reputation area and are two good places to start.
Okay, so you could use this map to feng shui your home. Like the floor plan of your home could be the Bagua map. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, the Bagua map is really cool because you can layer it up. And there's different ways. There's different ways of using it. But the way I use it in Western feng shui is when I'm sitting at my desk, the map goes in front of me at the desk. And then I can take that same map and I can now stand at the door to my office and I can superimpose it over my whole office, and then I can take it and do it on every room. But then I can go to the front of my house and use that same map and see, okay, that's that part of my house is my wealth and prosperity area, and that part of my house is my relationships area. And that's the funny thing is, when I first started learning about feng shui quite a few years ago, when I looked at that map and I looked at my house, which was L-shaped, and I realized, holy, my relationships area is in the toilet. And it literally was. And I was like, wow. And then my wealth and prosperity was completely missing. I was like, this stuff is real. And then my health and family area was, we were having a lot of health issues and it was also missing. So I just really looked at that thing and it just clicked, like, oh wow, okay, this map thing is working, and I need to remedy these areas, and there's always something you can do.
Mm-hmm. So when you are doing this map over any area of your home, you're always in the position where you're looking, like you're at your front door looking in, you're at your office door looking in, you're sitting at your desk, that's where you start the map from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what's great about it is it just brings awareness to the areas. It's not like you have to be worried like, oh, I better get a compass or I better do anything unless you want to go that direction. This is just bringing awareness to what's in that area. What does it mean? You know, everything that we talked about, like what's in your office or on your desk, like why is it there? Is it beneficial? Same thing with your house. Just brings attention and then helps you to set the intentions with the stuff and get rid of the stuff or whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm. What about keep plants?
Well, plants are great as long as they're healthy and alive.
What if it's unhealthy? Because I've got a peace lily that will not do anything no matter what I do with it. Should I be getting rid of that thing?
Well, maybe it needs to be in a different room.
I've tried it in every room in my house. Low light, high light, water, no water. I can't get this thing to go. Like it's pitiful looking.
Well, you know what? It's interesting that you say that because what happens is that's the kind of thing that's in your mind when you're looking at that plant. Like it could be distracting for you unconsciously. So I would say move it out of there. Like, cause you don't want to be, you want to feel like you have a healthy plant and do something with it, I guess, but don't have things around you that make you distracted in any way.
Okay. And I think there's something to be said in feng shui or feng shui for repairing things that are broken in your home as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Having things that are broken, unfinished projects, kind of like how I was starting at the beginning of our talk, like anything like that that you need to get to and take care of, that is just that niggly stuff that will just keep you from really moving forward into your highest good. Like you just get rid of it, take care of it, fix it, make the appointment. And then you can live in flow a little bit more.
Mm. So is that where you would have people start? If somebody was wanting to start, this will be airing in 2026. Someone's wanting to start 2026, right? First step should be.
Yeah. So definitely the first step is to make sure that you've tied up all the loose ends from the year of completion. Totally. Make sure you get those appointments. And then I take a look at your desk, but I always like to start with my clients at the front door, like your front entryway, whatever that may be, house, apartment, whatever, like make sure that you really feel like me in my red jacket, like that you feel good when you're entering your home and that it's clearly marked. The front door is your primary mouth of chi, the good energy. And so go there. Once you've done on your desk, go to your front door.
Okay. What about colors? Should we be thinking about colors for our front doors? Obviously, I'm not going to paint in Ontario in December or January, but.
Well, I think if you just drive around and you take note of which front doors you notice and which ones you don't, like some of them are covered over with trees and some of them are black and you can't even see them. If you notice something, that's the chi calling you and that's calling in good energy. So I think if you just start by that, like just noticing other people's doors and realizing, oh, that place looks really nice. That's really attractive. It's attracting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Then that's going to attract opportunity. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the idea. Exactly. Okay.
That's the idea. Like you're attracting, it's attractive. It's like, that's what I do. I go around and look at like, ooh, that door is pink. I really notice it. Like that door is calling in abundance.
Okay, cool. Okay. So is there anything else that we didn't cover that you think we should have covered that someone's going to need to know about bringing in abundance into their office space or their workspace?
I think we're pretty good. I think if people can just remember, wrap up the thing, the unfinished loose ends, get a clean slate and start with some fresh ideas. And zhuzh up your front door.
Okay.
Use the placement at your desk.
I'm going to put the link to one of your freebies in the show notes as well. And so that people can go there and download. I'm going to go re-download it for this map because I got to get the map again. But it must have worked because the last time we spoke, I can't remember what you said is the middle of your desk, like right in front of you, that top corner.
Oh, the career area. Yeah.
So I put, I can show you on YouTube, but I put this like It's just a regular book, and I put best-selling author, and I finished my book, and it's at the publisher, so it must have worked.
Congratulations. Yes, yes, that's awesome. Yeah, because that's a great place to put your personal mission statement, you know, an intention, something like that, right there. Your career area, which is, usually shows up as your job, but it's your mission. It's your reason for being.
Mm, okay. All right. And are you doing this vision board workshop online or in person?
I'm doing one in person in Vancouver, BC, and I may do one online.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about it.
Okay. Well, after 28 days, I can put in the show notes.
Yeah, 28 days to think about it.
Yeah. But and I think that also we need to always say, well, I don't know if this is your experience, but at least 28 days. Because if there's another reflector listening and they think, oh my God, I have to do the decision in 20, sometimes it's longer. I know with emotional authority, some decisions are months and months and months. And some are just, you know, a couple of days. So,
well, you know, what's funny about that you mentioned that, because I can sometimes seem really impulsive, like I make a decision really fast. And the reason for that, though, even though it seems like that was quick, like, how did you make that decision so fast? It's usually something that you've had mulling over in your mind for quite a long time. And then when the right thing pops up, you just know, okay, that's for me to do or have or whatever the case may be. And so that is a tough one for reflectors to figure out, this 28 day thing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any parting words? Something you'd like to leave people with about design, feng shui, anything?
Yes. Make sure that you've got your thought environment, your people environment, and your home environments all feeling really good and supportive for yourself for 2026.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And where can people find you if they want to send you some videos and get working with you to do their home or their office?
Well, I have a website. It's laureltcollins.com. My Collins has one L.
Okay.
That's the numerology. I was raised with numerology. Oh. laureltcollins.com. And I'm also on Instagram at laurelt.living.
Okay.
And that's where I have the whole list of freebies that I've ever, all of the ones I've ever made.
Okay. Well, we'll link that up in the show notes so that people have access to all of it for sure, because they definitely need to get into your world.
Thank you.
And I remember now you telling me that before about being raised in numerology. And I think that must be or have been fascinating, like to just have that as part of your life from the get-go.
Well, it's interesting because you're raised in it, but you don't really know, like as a kid, really what it even is. And then when I started getting into more energy work and feng shui and realizing, of course, you know, the numerology is all energy.
Yeah.
And then when I found the human design and thought, well, this makes sense because this, if you're making decisions correctly by your design and you're, you know, creating your environments correctly with your feng shui considerations and you know, it just all tied together. Yeah. So it was a cool evolution.
Yeah, definitely. It's fascinating. Well, I wish that I could talk to you for days, but I know that it's time to get on with it. It's actually New Year's Eve when we're recording this. So our listeners might find that fun to know it's New Year's Eve. So what are your plans for New Year's Eve?
I think I'm going to go skating on Little Frozen Lake here.
Oh,
and
so nice.
Go to my sister-in-law's and go see my mom. Yeah, just some visiting around. Might be in bed by midnight.
Yeah, nice, nice. Well, thank you very much for doing this with me today, Laurel. I think it's really valuable for people as they move forward in 2026. And I am going to be cleaning up my office. I'm looking around here as I'm talking to you going, oh my gosh, that's my mission for tomorrow.
Me too. Thank you so much for having
me.
You're very fun.